We speak of faith, of the Orthodox Church, of orthodoxy, even of a kind of post-orthodoxy, and yet in truth we do not know it. We do not know the height, the depth, and the breadth of orthodoxy, and we ought to behold it in all its holiness. Orthodoxy is the truth about God, about man, and about the world, as it was given to us by the incarnate God himself, through his sublime teaching, through his holy life, and through his redemptive sacrifice. As it was then articulated by the God-inspired mind and heart of Paul, and as the disciple of love and the other apostles and evangelists brought it to life by the heavenly light of the Holy Spirit. Orthodoxy is that wondrous synthesis of dogma and ethos, of theoria, the contemplation of God, and praxis, the active ascetic life, as it was given and handed down to us by the Spirit-moved fathers of Alexandria and of Constantinople, of Cappadocia, of Syria, and later of the Holy Mountain, all of them, from Holy Polycarp, the disciple of the apostles, as you know, down to Saint Nicodemus the Hagiorite, who fell asleep at the beginning of the last century, with their wisdom and their holiness, with their sacrifices and their struggles, handed down to us the deposit of right faith and right life, the treasure of Orthodox tradition. Orthodoxy is further, that which the councils formulated more formally, those blessed ecumenical assemblies of the Church of Christ throughout the world. Then the God-bearing fathers, drawing together the whole science of the soul and deliberating in council with the Holy Spirit, gave their ruling on the greatest questions that occupy spiritual man, and laid the foundations, the very bedrock, of civilization, of spiritual civilization. Orthodoxy was sealed by the martyrs of every age with their precious blood. All the holy ones, an army of millions of heroes and confessors, men and women and children, from the amphitheaters of Rome to the camps of Russia, proved that Christianity is not a mere theory, but the truth and the life. The most beautiful heroism, the victory over brute force and material power, the prevailing and the reign of the Spirit, and then came worship to him orthodoxy, with its sublime poetry and its inspired hymnography, which unites the natural and the supernatural, the earthly and the heavenly, the personal and the communal intimacy, and deep reverence what is readily grasped and what remains a mystery. In an atmosphere of exaltation and holiness, the sacrifice of the God-man is set before us there, in the divine drama of the liturgy, in every liturgy, in which all the faithful take part. There, too, the great deeds of the giants of the faith are remembered and held up before us. And at the head of this choir stands the Theotokos Mary. There the dogma is hymned, not only as true, but also as answering to the deepest longings of man. But the ideal for which monasticism struggled is no different from the very meaning of orthodoxy. According to the specialist scholars, orthodox monasticism was the spiritual army that struggled to attain spiritual freedom, to bring man to perfection. Its aim was the forming of the soul, the renewal of the nous, the spiritual intellect. Here, at exactly this point, is the heart of the monastic spirit. This is the purpose and the achievement of monasticism. The spiritual struggles of the ascetics are the new Olympic games of the spirit. They lead man to the truly philosophical life, to theosis, our divinization. The path of asceticism is a path of purification and of return to God. And not only to the ascetics, but to the whole fullness of the Christian people, orthodoxy gave the meaning of holiness, and in this way it lifted up the moral life of society. We see this especially in its social conscience. A basic mark of orthodoxy is philanthropy in its deepest sense, not only as almsgiving, but more broadly as a tender love toward man. Social welfare is not a discovery of the last few centuries. It first came into being in Jerusalem, after the resurrection of the Savior. There the first soup kitchens arose, as is recounted in the Acts of the Apostles, and the winged apostle of the nations. Paul was at the same time the first social worker. Together with the preaching of the gospel, he carried out that collection of love which was called the Logia. The successors of the apostles, the bishops, were social workers as well. There is no worse way of strangling the truth than to claim that the fathers of the church concerned themselves solely with doctrine and nothing else. At the very time when the councils were being convened, the Basiliad was being built in Caesarea under St. Basil the Great, as you know. Soup kitchens were feeding 7,000 poor in Constantinople, and the first maternity houses were being founded in Alexandria. And not only the bishops, but kings, and even the monks vied with one another in works of love. For all of them, orthodoxy was at the same time right practice, orthopraxy. Another mark of orthodoxy has always been heroism, which we saw in martyrdom, but it did not stop only at the sacrifice of blood. The children of orthodoxy have always shown strength and courage in the face of every kind of tyranny, whether from Julian the Apostate as he came against them, or from the Arians and the Monophysites, from the iconoclasts and the Latin-minded monks. This phalanx of the heroes of the Orthodox Church includes not only Athanasius and Basil and Chrysostom, but also Theodore the Studite, the abbot of the monastery of Studios with all his monks, and Maximus the Confessor, and that great hero, Mark of Ephesus, Eugenikos, a mark of orthodoxy, has always been the holy mission to the barbarian peoples, joined with bringing them into civilization. Our church, without ever resorting to proselytism, radiated the light of the gospel and of learning, of love, and of gentleness. Our path in teaching and in culture is shown to us especially by the three hierarchs whom we celebrate today, who watered the whole of creation with the living streams of the right teaching about God and about man. The three holy hierarchs are the three great stars in the spiritual firmament of the church: orthodoxy, which walks the royal road of the gospel, kept the spirit of Christianity unadulterated and genuine, over against the dark mysticism of the Eastern heresies, the papo-Caesarist centralism of the Latins, and the rationalist subjectivism of the Protestants. It always kept measure and harmony, with nothing amiss, because the fathers were moved by the Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. Orthodoxy did not despise man, nor wisdom, nor nature, nor art. It was never inhuman. It sanctified all things and brought forth a civilization. Nature, as the troparion of the three great hierarchs says, the nature of all beings it made clear, and the manners of men it adorned. Orthodoxy is the journey of the whole and complete man toward his maker, toward theosis, divinization. It leads man to his full development in Christ and for Christ. Orthodoxy is not only theology in the highest sense, it is at the same time the true psychology, the genuine humanism, and true fellowship in society. It is a many-sided diamond, which from every angle shows new reflections of the truth. So let us come to know our orthodoxy, not in theory only. Let us feel it, and let us live it in all its depth and breadth. Only in this way will we be able to hold it up and make it bear fruit, because our orthodoxy is not a museum and a thing of the past, but life and radiance and creation. It is the great vision of our nation. It is the golden hope of our salvation. It is our boast in Christ. Let us proclaim it with heroism and glory, as true children of the great heroes of orthodoxy. All beautiful orthodoxy, bride of Christ adorned in blood, may we the unworthy never, never deny you. But if the circumstances and the time should call for it, count us worthy, O my friends, to pour out even the last drop of our blood. I would like to say something more, but I can go no further. Forgive me. Forgive me.